We have seen already some marks or evidences of fellowship with God and others. Or even the question is, how do we walk in fellowship with God and others? And from the beginning of the book, we have found that it started with our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the door, as he even says in the book of John. I am the door. You must enter through him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And John, in his book, shares this, and he shares this now in his epistle, that the fellowship with God and others begins by going through Jesus Christ. It has to start there. The Savior is the one who died to provide a way and open up an avenue for us to come into fellowship. He tore the veil, if you remember, at his death, signifying that there was no longer a separating wall, and access was now open to the believer, to the throne of God himself. And that access to God himself comes through his Son, Jesus Christ. It begins with knowing his Son. And his Son was the light of the world, as John 1 says, and John 8:12 states, as Jesus said, I am the light of the world. It all begins with having fellowship with Jesus. And then we saw, too, that to walk in the light, another way of just really saying to walk in fellowship with God, as he is in light, as God is in sweet fellowship with his Son and the Holy Spirit, and as the Trinity is in light, for us to come into that fellowship, we saw that it begins with confession. To speak the truth that God is light. To walk in that light. To be on a journey getting to know our Savior. And part of that journey includes a confession of our sin. And if we confess our sins, as 1 John 1:9 says, he is faithful and just to forgive us. It goes from walking in the light, confessing our sins, turning from sin to God, turning from idols that want to put themselves up as superior, to seeing God as superior, the living God, the God who is light. And by walking in the light, he continues on in chapter 2. As we read, the confession of sin is that we who sin have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for our sins. So the mark of walking in the light begins with going to the Father, confessing sin, and then, as we will look in verses 3 through 6, continues by obedience to our Master's commands. Obedience to his commands. It only makes sense that if we want to walk in fellowship with God, we're going to listen to his words. We're going to desire to keep his commands. Now remember the context, though. He's saying this just as he said in verse 1 of chapter 2, but if anyone sins, we have an advocate. This command in verse 3 through 6, to keep his word, to keep his commandments, is already understood that it's not going to be one of perfection. There will be sin that we are called to confess, as he has already shown us, even in chapter 1. But it is more that a tree produces a certain kind of fruit. And Jesus even shared this. And we know this now in this time of spring, that an apple tree does not produce oranges. And a blueberry bush doesn't produce blackberries. That would be nice. Then there wouldn't be any thorns, right? But each bush or tree produces as it is, and the fruit that is shown is in keeping with its nature. And the truth is, if our nature has been changed, if we are now new creations, if we have been turned over from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus Christ and of light, it only makes sense then that we're not going to listen any longer. We're not going to desire and love the darkness or desire to stay or go back to that life. We have been given a new creation, new desires, new ears, new eyes to see that our Master has given us good commandments, that we should walk in them. Let's read 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 6. And by this we know that we have come to know him. So this is kind of a sign or evidence, kind of like the tree and its fruit, if we keep his commandments. This word keep means to cherish, to guard, to observe and abide by, to do. But it's interesting, this word keep is used frequently, not just for obedience, but to entrust or to guard or to watch over carefully. Isn't that interesting that now there is this new desire to treat his words as holy, as most important, to guard what he says as this is the instruction manual now for my life. I'm going to hold his words higher than anyone else's words. I'm going to realize that what he tells me to do is of most importance. There's this almost cherishing now of his commandments. To keep his commandments. Now there's discussion. Does this mean the Ten Commandments? Is this the Old Testament law? Is this a word for referring back to the very beginning when God gave his people commandments? Could this also be when Jesus uses the phrase, like in John 13, 15, a new commandment I am giving to you, that you love one another? Is this then meaning the commandments that came from Jesus' life and how he walked and lived? And I guess my answer would be yes and yes. Because Jesus came and in his life, he fulfilled all the law and the prophets. He said, I did not come to abolish the law, but actually to fulfill it. I came to keep my Father's commandments. And he is the only one who has kept them all perfectly, righteously. And God the Father looks at his Son and says, approved. He has been obedient to the very end. By this we know that we have come to know the Savior if we keep his commandments. If there's now a new desire to listen to his words, to cherish his commandments, to hear when Jesus said, I can sum up all of the law in these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And love, that's three, love your neighbor as yourself. Are those your new desires? Is this new love true of you? For John actually tells us this is how we know we have come to know him. That we desire to follow a new master with new instructions and new commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, as Jesus said himself. They are good commandments. all things are for our good. So to be in fellowship with God and others, we find it has been through Jesus Christ. It is found through confession of sin, but it is in keeping or obeying his commandments. And this is marked by this word, keeping, observing, cherishing, guarding, obeying, wanting to do his words, his commandments. But it's also marked by growth in the believer. Look at verse 4. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Same kind of illustration. If it is an orange tree, then it naturally is going to produce oranges. But if one says, I am an orange tree, but I don't produce any fruit, how is that possible? If we say, I know the Father, but we don't want to listen to his words, that doesn't make sense. We don't want to obey what he asks of us. We don't want to confess when we need to confess. We don't care about walking in the light as he is in the light. John uses this strong word. That person is a liar. Saying one thing, but it is not showing in their life. Jesus used a word in the religious circles of hypocrite. That the leaders were going around preaching the right things. And even Jesus said, listen to what they say, but do not practice what they are doing. What a shock. They are speaking my words. They are saying the truth, but don't do what they are doing. By their actions, they are betraying the truth. And if you were to ask, well, what are his commandments? Well, there's multiple ones, but most of them are categorized in those two categories, either about love for God or love for others. And here's just a few. Matthew 4:17. Repent. Repent to whom? What about? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent to God. Is your relationship with God right? That was Matthew 4:17. Matthew 4:19. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Relating to a relationship with God, also he's speaking to others. Follow me. As I walk, come and see how I live. I will make you fishers of men. You will no longer fish after fish, but you will fish for lost souls of men. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Again, a commandment of God, let our light shine before others. The light that's been given to us by God, but also a call to love others. And even this difficult passage, Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Again, that horizontal plane of loving others, even our enemies. And maybe our neighbor is that enemy, I would hope not. But God says, love your neighbor. Realistically, possibly. But even Jesus says, this includes our enemies. In Matthew 6:19, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, the relationship of God and loving him. Where is your treasure? Matthew 6:33, again about our relationship with God, our love for God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. I'm only in chapter 6 of Matthew. We could go on and on. that great commandment is found in Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And of course, the very common one, Matthew 28, 19, as Jesus is about to depart, he gives us a commandment. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, the truth is not in him. Do you see this correlation of what is inside of us and what comes out of us? Who we are and the fruit. And I pray this morning that you understand, if you have trusted in Jesus, he has made you a new creation, and the fruit that comes out of that is no longer fruit of darkness. It is the fruit of life and light. It is his commandments. We have love for our neighbor. We even may be difficult, but can have love for our enemies. We can pray for our enemies. We can pray for those against us. Verse 5, though, and this comes to our second section, obedience to his commandments, they're marked by keeping them. They're also marked by growth in them and growth in the believer. Why do I say that? For whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. That might be said in a difficult way, but we could read it this way as well. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And this love of God is not love from God. God's love to us is already perfect. This is a love for God that is being perfected, and in sense of eternity, it is perfected. When Jesus and the Father looks upon us, he already sees children who love him perfectly and who will be with him forever. Romans 8 is an interesting passage because it says all things are being worked out for our good. And it actually says in the past, and I want to get the phrase right, Romans chapter 8. So let me first make sure I read this correctly. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined in the past, he's called in the past. And to those he's called in the past, he's justified already. That's a past action. He has justified us. And to those whom he has justified, which is a big word to say, he calls you righteous. To those whom he justified, he also glorified. Glorified in the past. He already sees us as complete children of his. For the one who has been changed from the inside out, the one who listens to his words, as verse 5 says, who keeps his word, in him the love of God is perfected. By this, by keeping of his commandments, by the fruit reflecting the new nature, we know that we are in him. By this, we may know that we are in him. By the desire to obey his commands, by the desire to do what the word says. Isn't it interesting how we've been repeatedly seeing this phrase, whoever says, whoever says, whoever says, but the real, where the rubber meets the road is, but he who does. We can say all we want to say. What is our view of God's word? What is our view of his commands? What is our view of desiring to listen and obey his words? No, I don't want anyone telling me what to do. I don't want any commands over me. No, I'm good all by myself. Is that your attitude? God, I can do this on my own. I got my own commands. I wrote them a long time ago. I'm trying to keep them as good as I can. I've broken some, but you know what? I paid myself back. It's all good. Me and myself and my commandments, we're doing okay. I pray that's not the world that any of us would be in. Or is it, Lord, I desperately need you. I need to confess that I can't fulfill my commandments. I need to confess that your commandments are good, that what you say is right, that even when I don't like your commandments, I find them always to be true. That when I abide in you, as you call me to abide in what we're going to look at last, that I actually find sweet fellowship and sweet communion as I abide in you. Marked by growth, love of God is being perfected in us. And as we keep his commands and his words, we know, we find assurance that we are in him because we have a new desire to obey. This is amazing. If you want to, at some point, read Psalm 119, and especially this section's verses 97 through 104. It shows us this whole picture and view of God's law and God's commands and how we can actually grow into loving and cherishing and desiring those commands. If you read the whole Psalm of 119, you will find that to be the heart of David. I love your law. Oh, how I long for it. But verses 102 to 104 says, I do not turn aside from your rules or your laws or your precepts, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. As we spend time in his word, learning his commands, learning who he is, it grows sweet. And there becomes a distaste. As the psalmist says, I hate every false way. It no longer fulfills and satisfies and appeals to me. That's the Christian walk. That's walking in the light. As we abide and obey his commands, there comes this distaste, this hate for every false way, as Psalm 119 says. I could go on and on with more verses. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about, as newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. The milk of the word, the milk of who God is, the milk of his words given to us, his commandments. 2 Peter chapter 3, 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The whole word hinges on the word. And the word was Jesus Christ. Growth happens as we find the word of God centering on one person. The Old Testament speaks of a Savior that is to come. The New Testament talks of a Savior that came and has made everything new and different. This is how we grow. And also we grow by the third mark. Verse 6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And we're going to see this idea of abiding a little bit later in chapter 2 as well. But to abide is to remain connected, to stay put, to hunker down, as the word might be, to create a home and stay there. That is this idea of abiding, The word abode also comes to mind, that we want to remain and stay with him. The greatest illustration of this abiding is in John chapter 15. John 15, and this will be the passage to which we close. But John 15 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine." An illustration of a tree and its fruit. Well, now this is an illustration of a vine, and we understand that. We understand this idea of growth and organ, that we who are called as Christians have a new connection now. There is us and the vine, and we are called to abide. Just as the grapes have to stay connected to that root, the vine, and from it they get all of their sustenance, and they produce this wonderful, luscious fruit. And it all begins with remaining connected, presence, time with, understanding, reading, praying, communication. All those words are words of abiding in Christ. Whoever abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Our walk will look a lot like the person to which we most spend our time with. Isn't that true in life? A mentor, maybe a grandparent or a parent or a teacher even, someone that we have held in high esteem, or we say, I want to kind of be a little bit like that person. Well, then we start reading what they write, or we start listening to their words, or we put time and we devote some of our efforts into that. And Christ is saying, you will walk in the same way in which you abide in, and you put your time in, and you spend your quality thoughts and understanding and reading in. And Jesus says, abide in me and no other. I am actually the only one that when you abide, I will be producing change in you, and you will walk as I have walked. You will love those that I have loved. You will look a little bit like how I looked on this earth. No, we may not produce life-changing, miraculous healings. We can't just speak and things happen that Jesus did, but in terms of his daily love for others, in terms of his speaking the truth to others, I would say what only my Father would want me to say, those things can be true of us. That the love that Jesus showed from his Father to others can be the same love given to us, given out to others. That we can walk in the same way in which he walked. That's what Christian means. Little Christs. So, in the keeping of his commands, in the desire to listen and cherish his words and walk in his words, John says there will be growth. Your love for God will grow. He in you, and your life will change, and your walk will change. You will start and look as you are walking in the same manner in which Jesus walked. And John asks us, remain in me, abide in me, connect and keep that connection close. It's like that prayer in Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, nor dwell with those in sin. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. Is your delight on the law of the Lord, on his words to us? For if we do that, verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in every season. For those of us who were just in Israel, you can explain better than I can that trees struggle in that arid land, that some of them don't make it. But when you find an oasis, a spring in that desert land, you will find lush and green and trees like this tree in Psalm 1, planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither. You will not die off. You will not shrivel up. You will have your source in the life-giving waters of Jesus Christ. Keep his commands. Grow in him. Remain or abide in his words. And Psalm 1 will be your promise. You will be like a tree in the beautiful waters, the living waters of our Savior. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these words of how to walk in the light. Last week, we learned, and prayerfully we were practicing, that walking in the light is confession of sin. Lord, for myself to say, Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned against my child or my wife or my brother or sister in the Lord, and I need to go to them and confess. This walking in the light to maintain this fellowship with God and others. And Lord, this morning we saw that it also involves a desire to keep and obey your words, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and even maybe the difficult message, but to love others as we ourselves would want to be loved. Lord, may you produce in us a heart that longs for your word, as the psalmist showed us this morning. And in being filled up by your word, being fed by your good commandments, may we go out in love, showing the love of Jesus Christ as lights to this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.